March 5th, the Daily Stoic, cutting back on the costly. So concerning the things we pursue and for which we vigorously exert ourselves, we owe this consideration. Either there is nothing useful in them, or most aren't useful. Some of them are superfluous, while others aren't worth that much. But we don't discern this and see them as free when they cost us dearly. Seneca, Moral Letters, 42 through 42.6. Of Seneca's many letters, this is probably one of the most important and one of the least understood. He's making a point that does unheard, that goes unheard in a society of ever bigger houses and ever more possessions, that there's a hidden cost to all that accumulating, and the sooner we're aware of it, the better. Remember, even what we get for free has a cost, if only in what we pay to store it in our garages and in our minds. If you walk past your possessions today, ask yourself, do I need this? Is it superfluous? What's this actually worth? What is it costing me? You might be surprised by the answers and how much we've been paying without even knowing it. A Year with C.S. Lewis. Face the bad. Now at the moment, when a man feels real guilt, moments too rare in our lives, all blasphemies vanish away. Much we may feel can be excused by human infirmities, but not this incredible mean and ugly action which none of our friends would have done, which even such a thoroughgoing rotter as X would have been ashamed of, which we would not for the world allow to be published. At such a moment, we really do know that our character, as revealed in this action, is and ought to be hateful to all good men, and, if there are powers above man, to them. A God who did not regard this with unappeasable distaste would not be a good being. We cannot even wish for such a God. It is like wishing that every nose in the universe were abolished, that the smell of hay or roses or the sea should never again delight any creature because our own breath happens to stink. When we merely say that we are bad, the wrath of God seems a barbarous doctrine, as though as soon as we perceive our badness, it appears inevitable, a mere corollary of God's goodness. To keep ever before us the insight derived from such a moment as I have been describing, to learn to detect the same real and excusable corruption under more and more of its complex disguises is therefore indispensable to a real understanding of the Christian faith. This is not, of course, a new doctrine. I am attempting nothing very splendid in this chapter. I am merely trying to get my reader, and still more myself, over a pons a sonorum, to take the first step out of the fool's paradise and utter illusion from the problem of pain. Jesus calling. Make friends with the problems in your life. Though many things feel random and wrong, remember that He is sovereign over everything. He can fit everything into a pattern for good, but only to the extent that you trust Him. Every problem can teach you something, transforming you little by little into the masterpiece He created you to be. The very same problem can become a stumbling block over which you fall if you react with distrust and defiance. The choice is up to you, and you will have to choose many times each day whether to trust Him or to defy Him. The best way to befriend your problems is to thank him for them. This simple act opens your mind to the possibility of benefits flowing from your difficulties. You can even give persistent problems nicknames, helping you to approach them with familiarity rather than with dread. The next step is to introduce them to him, enabling him to embrace them to his loving presence. He will not necessarily remove your problems, but his wisdom is sufficient to bring good out of every one of them. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Romans 8:28. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:23 and 24.